Podcast edition.
Podcasting. Who would have ever thought?
Just a quick note to get a little background for those of you who have not been regular followers of the World Rider website, nor have familiar with what this podcast is all about. But my name is Alan Carl, and on July 4th, 2005, I left my home in Southern California to take a journey that would take me around the world, visiting all seven continents alone and on a motorcycle. In January, I was in Bolivia just after the rains and through a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. Unfortunately, I had a slight mishap when my motorcycle slipped out from under me on some very greasy, slick mud. Unfortunately, on the side of the road, the bike landed on top of the bike landed on my leg between the saddlebags and the berm on the side of the road, breaking it in three places. I was medical evacuated back to the United States, where I will be recovering until at which point my leg and spirit are back. Actually, my spirit's always there, but until I'm ready to get back on that motorcycle. This is the podcast edition, where we bring you information from riders all over the world who are riding motorcycles around the world, and friends who have questions about what the first 7 months and 21,000 miles were like as I rode my motorcycle around the world. Enjoy the podcast.
World Rider.
The podcast. Edition. Podcasting.
Who would have ever thought? This is Alan Carl. Welcome to World Rider, the podcast edition. I'm sitting here in Carlsbad under sunny skies. It's Monday in middle of March. I still got crutches, but here I'm sitting with Tim Amos, a good friend of mine I've known for more than 20 years, who made the trek from New York City to California.
Had to come out here and see what was going on with Big Al, you know, get him back on his feet, you know.
Yeah, it's nice to have company. I've been holed up for more than a month now, it seems, that actually the accident was on the 15th of January, so we're sitting here on the 13th of March, almost 2 months ago.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? Duh. So Tim Amos leaves New York City in one of its hot spells, which comes to California, and here we had the worst winter storm in history. I think there's 27 inches up in northern, in the mountains north of San Diego, and we actually had snow right here in Carlsbad. Snow. God, and hail.
Go figure. Ooh. Nutty. Indeed.
So Tim's been an active follower of the blog and a supporter of my endeavor here, and I think, like a lot of us, and me included, disappointed that I did have my little mishap there in Bolivia, but I think he's happy that I'm here.
Yeah, well, it's good to, you know, it's good to catch up and, you know, check in, you know, for sure. And, you know, just want to, you know, make sure that you're getting moving, but more importantly, that you're going to, you know, climb back on that horse, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, there's no question that Doc is waiting for me in Bolivia, and I'm fired up as soon as I can be strong again. I know the weather is clear. I'm going to make another attempt for Tika Tika and the Salar de Uyuni.
Just need a little leg strength, huh? Yeah. So they put a rod in there and a bunch of screws, and but I guess the question is, are you going to keep the rod?
The rod, according to Dr. Chang, he says that unless it bothers me, it can stay in there until the day that I die.
And every time you go through a metal detector at the airport, huh? Well, it's a novel thing to think that, you know, you can, like, you know, keep. I mean, it's like a souvenir.
Yeah, it's about a 7-8 inch souvenir, stainless or titanium, and the screws with it. And there's pictures of X-rays posted on the website. You can all see my nice souvenir, and I think it was the. Whenever they put a rod or a hardware inside your leg or any other broken bone, you speed the recovery time, able to get up and moving around quicker.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like you need to do. You know, there needs a little be a little PT, a little physical therapy that's going to have to take place, get the strength back. On the amazing thing to me was just how quickly your muscles atrophy from lack of use. What's your plan for that?
And physical therapy, I haven't started yet. Doctor hasn't put me on it, but I do have an appointment tomorrow, and I suspect we'll get on that program. I've just been able to get off the crutches for minor. You know, I can walk 10, 20 feet. Hobbling, it's not really walking, but well, you've seen me. What does it look like to you?
It's quite a sight. I think anybody knows Al. You know, you just to see him hobbling around, it's, you know, it almost looks the normal in a way. But making the best entertaining uses of the crutches, you know, is key. And you know, certainly central to what you're, to what you're doing. So, we got to keep moving.
We got to keep moving. There's just, there's no looking backwards, only looking forwards. Mm-hmm. That's what we got to do.
So timetable, I mean, people want to know when you're going to get back.
Yeah. Well, this is a question that's been nagging at me for a long time. Below the equator, we see the season switch, as you all know, and currently while it's winter here in the United States, it is summer in Bolivia and Argentina and Chile. For me to get down there again, I want to have the best possible weather to ride in, and that may push me to the end of the summer or to the fall of 2006.
So you get some time to do some podcasts.
Yeah, I can speed up on the podcasts. We can spend more time with friends. Thank you so much for coming out and visiting me and family. Having some time to reflect on where I'm going to go and what my next steps. You know, no matter how much you prepare, you can never really be prepared for a journey like I embarked on back in July 2005.
So that wasn't you. Well, you sort of answered that, I guess. You know. But what are you gonna do in the meantime? What's the?
Well, I think, you know, they would catch up on the podcast, start writing, drafts, chapters of the book that I'm planning on writing, and I certainly will make some calls. See if I can't pick up some more projects here, because, you know, funding a trip like this, it's costly. And it's usually the number one question people ask me is, how the hell can you do this? And
that's the funny thing I was thinking about, that you really, it costs you less to be on this adventure than it does to be, you know, at home here in California, right? I mean, it's a...
Absolutely. I know that staying here in the United States, I'm burning through my trip cash, so to speak, more at a lot more fervor than if I'm in Bolivia, where a hotel room and dinner can cost me less than $10.
Staying the places you're staying at, your biggest expenses, I don't know, fuel?
Fuel, yeah. And it's a question a lot of people ask me, actually, just to kind of dip into the fuel question, is where was the most expensive fuel and where was the cheapest. And Ecuador, ironically, had the less costly fuel at $1.70, $1.80 a gallon. And Colombia, over $5 a gallon, was the most expensive. Certainly when I was in Alaska last summer, you know, prices, particularly on the Dalton Highway and where you have those very remote places, the only gas station in town pretty much can charge its prices, and it pushed $3.50 then. I don't know what it is today, but fuel probably is a big cost, and maintenance to the motorcycle. I do the routine maintenance, lube the chain, tighten the chain tension, do the overall inspection, tighten nuts and bolts that might get rattled loose in some of these roads. But and if I need to, if I'm quite a distance from a dealer, I'll do the oil change. And you know, if there's any tire maintenance that I have to do, like a flat tire, I can do that on the road. But rolling into Guatemala City, into Santiago, I plan to visit the BMW dealer there. You know, these service calls do cost a bit, even though you're in a, so to speak, second or third world country. Yeah, and we talked earlier about the cost of hotel and meals, and certainly insignificant, but certainly when you're on a two-year journey, they can add up. As you know, I had packed quite a motorcycle full of supplies, including camping gear with the plan for camping, which I did a lot in North America, Canada, and Alaska. When it comes to Latin America, things were different. Just, the tent, nor any of my camping or cooking equipment.
Mm-hmm. But you were about to.
But because I was headed into just about to. I mean, Jeremiah and I had purchased supplies in Potosí before heading out on the road to Tika Tika and to Uyuni, where we knew we would be in very remote parts of Bolivia and northern Argentina and Chile, where there would be no hotels, no stores, barely any people. So we would be camping. And Jeremiah continued once he found that I was going to safely get medevaced out of the country. Probably had a dozen camping days till he made it down to Ushuaia a couple weeks ago.
No, yeah, no worries. Where is he now?
He's outside. I just actually got an email from him today. Jeremiah is outside the Buenos Aires by I don't know how many miles. I haven't looked at the map to see where he is, but he's running on about 8 sprockets, and they're all about to break. So he's in very bad shape. He says the motorcycle, it would not be safe to move on. So he's still in a rural part. So he's holed up in a hotel and hoping that the local Honda dealer there will be able to fix his motorcycle. It's Monday now. I got the email over the weekend, and he said they were closed over the weekend, so he was stuck there for the weekend. So I hope things go well for him and he gets that bike fixed and rolls in. He did have a package of spare parts flown in to Buenos Aires, but as I know now, they're stuck in customs.
So he went all the way down and is coming back up.
He plans on getting all the way to Venezuela, which was a country that was not on my list. I was going to go through Brazil. So he'll get into Buenos Aires, probably have some download time. I mean, his biggest goal, as mine was, for phase one of this journey, was to get to the bottom of the world, to go from the top of the world, from Prudhoe Bay, Dead Horse, the town up there, or the oil pipeline is in Alaska, all the way down to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in the world, and also the furthest south that you can ride on any road. Not necessarily doesn't mean paved, but any road south, that is it. That is along the strait, below the Straits of Magellan. And I think now that he's achieved that goal, there's less pressure. You see, with that southern part of the world, winter accelerates a lot faster than the rest of South America. So weather could turn on any day now. I mean, he was lucky because he didn't get there till March 1st when he and I had originally wanted to be there the first week of February. But a number of reasons, me getting injured, and he had some other issues in Santiago and taking longer than we thought to get to Ushuaia, caused him to be late. But fortunately, the weather held up. But I haven't checked the Ushuaia weather right now, but it could be snowing, raining, and force you not to be able to make it down there, because then you would never get out.
What are you thinking about Antarctica?
Antarctica was still very much planned. I mean, I can't get down to Ushuaia and not take the boat, which is a 7 or 10 day trip to Antarctica. As my goal's always been to hit every continent, and Antarctica being something I've dreamed about going to see for years. I mean, it is a continent of ice. I've seen pictures, but anybody that I know, which is very few, who have been to Antarctica say it's until you see it, you have no idea.
Now, do you do much riding there in Antarctica?
No, you know, Antarctica is a continent, if not, it's not a country. It's a nobody owns or has that as a property or a colony in the world. But yet many countries have scientific bases down there where studies of anything from animals to the ozone to survival, these kinds of things, happen in Antarctica. It's a neutral zone. Lots of concern over the environment and any impact to Antarctica. So vehicles are not... nobody's allowed to ride them or drive them. I mean, there may certainly be in some of these bases certain motorized vehicles, but there's no roads. How can there be roads on ice? you know, my goal was to get out on the ice with Doc and just start that up, start that motorcycle up and plant those wheels down. But I had no ambition of riding on the ice. So I wouldn't be prepared for that.
The drive straight to the pole, right?
Yeah.
And then you come back. I guess that you take the same boat back, or you kind of end up going to the same spot. And
yeah, there's a number of boats that go to Antarctica as tours, if you will, or bring in supplies down to bases there, and many of them stop in Ushuaia. Other boats leave from Ushuaia to the Falklands, another Arctic Circle area, Antarctic Circle, mm-hmm. I guess it would be, islands that dot the Atlantic and Pacific oceans down there. So I don't know. You know, I will have to get back to Ushuaia, and then from Ushuaia make my way to Buenos Aires as well. I know Jeremiah wanted to go to Antarctica as well, but if he had some health problems plague him just before he got there, plus condition with his motorcycle and weather conditions, I'm not exactly sure why he didn't make it, but my guess is he needed to focus on his health and getting to a more urban population.
Buenos Aires off to Cape Town?
Well, we'll go north.
Nah.
We'll go north, Montevideo, in Uruguay, and then make my way up the coast of Brazil to Rio. Because how can you be on South America and not go to Rio? Where the Brazilians, as I've said often, have taken promiscuity to a new level. And I certainly think there's some interesting things to look at there in Brazil, in Rio.
Sights to behold.
Yeah. So no question. And then from Rio or Sao Paulo, we would fly to Cape Town, South Africa.
But that's a way. That's a ways off.
That's a ways off. We still got to get to the bottom of the world. I want to get to Buenos Aires and have a chance to do the tango. And then move to Rio where we can do the salsa. The samba, that's what, right, the samba.
yes, dancing in the near future for you, yes. Young man, yes.
Well, the one-legged man is thinking of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a dance all along. But
well, it's you know, it's good to see you. It's good to see you know.
I'm so psyched to see you.
Spirits are nothing's going to keep you down, which is a typical Alan Carl attitude anyway. And you know, we're all wishing you the best, and we want you to get back right back to it, because the website's a little it's a little boring these days.
A little stale. It's not that the photographs aren't as exciting and dynamic.
We haven't seen any car fulls of llamas,
anywhere
around here, And, I was observed that you would get close, but you would never be more than a month off. You would be, it'd be about the time you hadn't heard anything in a while, and you'd check the date, and you can always figure that you're never gonna be a month behind, right? I mean, that's I couldn't be.
I tried it to be never 2 weeks behind, and most of the time it was there. But yeah, I slipped to a month, but never more than that. And that's because it takes time. I try to write more than just a diary. It's more of a experience where characters and I integrate the photographs. So, and hope everybody's enjoyed it.
Well, it's certainly, I think somewhat selfishly about the fact, well, I haven't, it's been 3 weeks or it's been a month. Why hasn't he, and it's the really, appreciate the effort that that you have to take to make it be as quality as it is and as engaging and interesting. And, certainly, it's certainly very appreciated. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy it. It's a labor of love for sure, no question. Because there's times I get home, I say home loosely. I get to a hotel and that's home for a day or two or three, and to come off the bike, particularly in some of the weather that I'd been experiencing, particularly in December and January, it was very difficult to sit down and pull the computer out and start writing. But we make it happen.
Yeah, and it keeps us all in tune and in touch with Mr. Alan Carl.
Absolutely. I'm real glad you came out and participated in what's now the second World Rider podcast, which is a sign that things are getting better. We're going to get these podcasts more. I got some time. We will be able to use the iChat and hopefully have you as a guest again.
Yeah,
soon.
I'll do it remotely, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in. Anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
All right.
Boy.
We're on.
Rock and roll.
World Rider, the podcast edition. Signing out.
Podcasting. Who would have ever thought?
I do want to take just a quick moment and thank many of my sponsors who have supported me on my journey, and also thank the Friends of World Rider who have provided either donations through the website or participated in my bon voyage kind of last supper there in Newport Beach back in May, who participated in a wine auction and other fundraising activities. Sponsors such as Oakley make great eyewear, protection goggles, as well as footwear and a number of things. Oakley, big brand in extreme and adventure sports. Also, thank you very much to BMW of Santa Cruz County up in Northern California, Bill Plam and his incredible crew of service and parts and accessories. They know it all, helped me, supported me. With my motorcycle. They're the exclusive distributor for Wunderlich products, which make great accessories for the BMW series of adventure motorcycles. And I also would love to thank AKG Acoustics for providing the audio equipment, microphones, and wireless gear that we use to create the podcast, as well as some of the video and documentary footage. Also, would love to thank Adventure Pipe of Colorado, who have provided me with allowed me to lose more than 20 or 30 pounds by eliminating the catalytic converter and providing me with a dummy stash pipe where I store a lot of my extra parts, which hopefully I don't have to use. There's a long list of sponsors on the website, www.worldrider.com. Thank you for listening. Tune in next time to the World Rider Podcast Edition. Thanks.
World Rider, the podcast edition. Podcasting. Who would have ever thought?